Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Hour number three, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones off. He'll be back on Monday. Billy Lanny has slid over. You can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app as well as the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. And joining us for this hour is none other than Nick Fitzy Stevens. Fitzy, how are you, sir?
My wife got sick. I couldn't go to Coldplay. I had my kids all day.
You're still feeling this. Well, if you were going to go
sad
with
sad fellow.
If you were going to go with your affair, it's probably a good thing that
I know.
You went there.
It is a good thing. I had to tell my side piece who wanted to jump in with me after my wife got the trots that was probably the perfect night for us. But hey, you know what? Bullets dodged. There's a reason why everything happens in the universe.
Boys. That's true. People like Coldplay, huh? I don't really get
They're fans.
Okay.
It's Taylor Swift, the band, for people in their midlife that aren't watching Netflix.
It's a perfect way to put it.
Okay.
It's literally, what do you want to do? Coldplay and chill.
Coldplay and chill. All right.
Yeah. Just like, it's like the band, if Will Ferrell were to suggest something to do with his wife in Old School Part 2.
It would have been Coldplay.
Hey, honey, you want to sit around the fire pit and drink some craft seltzers and listen to Coldplay? That's exactly where I am in my sad life.
Interesting.
I had dinner at Applebee's, which was lovely. And then we went to the Coldplay show.
See, if I was having a sad, I'd probably just pop on like The Cure. I'd go more Cure than I think I would Coldplay.
I try to counter it. If I'm down in the dumps, I try to find something hilarious.
Oh, like B-52s?
Yeah, exactly.
Just change the tune?
There's a sign up ahead of the road that says...
I try. Like, if
you have
I
a smile on your face, listen to that.
Right. I can't let myself get further into the depression.
Wait a
second. Like, I need something to dig myself
up. Who doesn't enjoy a good midday Rock Lobster?
That's what I'm saying. Put that on. That's a good rejoin, Nick. Something to consider. All right. Most important question I'm going to ask you today, Fitzy. Give me your brief Superman review.
I didn't like it as much as Hart, but I think I liked it more than Stiz and a couple others around the station. That would be a 4 out of 5 Johnsons, as we like to rate them on the afternoon show. 4.5 out of 6 on the hashtag dork scale.
All right, so now I understand your rate. I was like, what the
sense.
Hell?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Four and a half. Okay.
Love the energy, love the pace, love the fresh air and the breath that it brought to the entire genre. I love a Superman who's a little vulnerable, who's kind of witty.
Sure.
The movie's a little busy. It's a little noisy. Got a lot of storylines. I probably could have used a little less pocket universe, maybe a little less kaiju.
Yep.
That said, the Corin Sweat is the thing. He's awesome.
Good. Yeah, he's good.
And I gotta tell you, like Nathan Fillion as like a dinky Green Lantern is a scene stealer, and Mr. Terrific might be my new favorite hero.
Very good. Yeah, so I think I agree with some of the there's a lot going on, but it also kind of has to because they're trying to create a universe, so they have to.
Good point.
They got to throw a lot of characters at you.
It is like the big test for me was the 12 and the 8-year-old said they loved it, they would want to go see it again, and
there
I asked them like I didn't throw annoying words like exposition around with them. I said, but there seemed to be a lot of characters to follow in locations. Was that too much for you guys? Like, oh no, I could do that all over again. This is great.
All right, that actually is the perfect test. If the 12 and the 8-year-old like it, then good. They're in good shape then.
They were also completely hopped up on Sour Patch M&Ms and stale movie theater popcorn. So I mean,
I heard there was
they didn't
too much Superdog.
2 in the morning.
There was so
I heard
Billy.
There was- Too much Superdog. I haven't seen it yet.
There's a lot of crypto in it, which I like. As a dog guy, I was fine with. But if that was a complaint, I understood that. They did go back to that well a lot.
Yeah, there was way more crypto, who's actually like the sidekick to Supergirl.
Right.
So obviously they wanted to introduce her as well. I thought Nicholas Holt played a very sort of compelling AI generation, Meta, Facebook, sort of Zuckerberg-esque Lex Luthor. Like, James Gunn did a great job of contemporizing it. Mm-hmm. He always, you know, if a Judd Apatow movie is always 20 minutes too long, and I feel like that a James Gunn movie always has 2 or 3 too many characters. That said, it was still a blast.
Yeah, I had a good time. Speaking of a blast, this Boston Red Sox team, Fitzy, 10
How about
game
that transition?
Heater. Yeah, oh yeah.
Pro's pro.
Not bad. 10-game heater. Is this as excited as you've been about the Red Sox in 7 years?
100%.
Yeah.
Not only is this as excited as I've been in 7 years for the... Seven!
That's the only reason why I asked.
Thank you. Yeah. I know. You could have gone 4 because there was a little momentum building up in 2021 for that improbable run to the ALCS, which I still think could have led to a World Series appearance had that awful call not been made on a Nate Eovaldi strike against... who the hell did they play? The Rays? I don't know.
Astros.
The Astros. Damn Astros. Yeah. But Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, Rich, I found myself this week.
You can catch all the ALCS. ALCS.
Sorry. You mentioned the ALCS.
Well, that drop really hits
me. ALCS. That's what's going to happen.
ALCS. Yeah, nobody gets out in front of their skis like that.
ALCS.
The Mortal Kombat guy?
Yeah, the Mortal Kombat guy getting in there. Fatality.
Johnny Cage versus ALCS. Fight.
You see that Mortal Kombat 2 trailer looks pretty good.
I know. You know what I'll do? I will see Carl Urban.
Yeah.
And I know you're a card-carrying member of the Carl Urban fan club.
Love
from
Carl
the boys
Urban.
As well.
Uh-huh.
I'll see him in any sort of requel reboot type of thing.
Definitely.
After he kicked all the ALC ass in the Judge Dredd from 2011.
You know, they're making, speaking of this, they're making another Judge Dredd movie. And
they're making Judge Dredd?
Judge Dredd, which is going to be direct to DVD. No, they're making another Dredd movie. Taika Waititi's going to direct it.
Oh, phenomenal. Because the 2011 one was kind of like Judge Dredd The Raid.
Yeah, it's good.
Which was excellent. Anyway, this was the first week I found myself, Rich, in at least 4 years. Most excited I've been since 7, yes.
Yeah.
But the first week I found myself missing the Sox.
Yeah.
Like I legitimately, coming off of the high of Chapman striking out the side to get win number 10 on Sunday, not having a Red Sox game to watch, listen to, or discuss for 5 straight days, was kind of a bummer. Like, I wanted that hit. I wanted to see, like, I needed it. Like, I wanted to see Roman Anthony. I wanted to see if Rafaela could do it again. I wanted to listen to Will Fleming have a baby in the booth calling another, you know, game-winning dinger. Like, they're, like, this is super, super fun right now. And they are the talk of the town and the number one team, stealing the Thunder in advance of the Pats opening camp in 5 freaking days.
I know. There is the absence makes the heart grow fonder.
No, absolutely. I didn't want the break.
No, I know.
And
I assume a bad time.
And I assume the players didn't want the break.
No, that's true.
I'm like, what about home run derby? Great game. Fine, yeah. Sure. But I was like, come on, the team is so fun to watch right now. I don't want to take 4 days off.
It's felt like a long time without a game. So we get it this afternoon. And where do you come down on adding to the team versus changing the chemistry if you have to peel off a guy from the main roster and just sort of over the next 2 weeks, all the different challenges that Breslow has in front of him?
Solid hit yesterday in the 11 to 12 hour with Bradfoe on the Rich Keefe All-Stars featuring Billy Lanny in the midday.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with him. I that notion that if they trade Jaren Duran, there's going to be emotional hell to pay inside the locker room would scare me away from trading somebody that they believe is their best pro prospect. There's still a farm full of kids that you could trade because you just called up a second, third shortstop that's going to be around for a decade in Meyer. Rafaela, Campbell is, you know, tooling around in Worcester. You've got plenty of prospects to trade. Don't upset the apple cart by dealing away a starter in an outfield that, yes, you have a surplus. You have 4. Great. You have a position of strength. Someone gets hurt or you need a defensive replacement, you got guys. You want to, you know, send Rafaela in to play second because he can, even though you are taken away from the best defensive center fielder. Okay. That's another one of the advantages this highly youthful and energetic team has. Do I want to see them add and not break up the chemistry? Yes. And my priority would be, you know, a back-end starter if this holy trinity of Crochet, Giolito, and Bayo can hold up. And we're about to see them on full display in Wrigleyville this weekend. So this should tell us a lot, boys. I want to see a bullpen arm added because I'm just a little afeard that someone's going to get gassed down the stretch and you're going to need someone that can come in and eat an inning or two and throw 97 or higher.
Yeah, they got to do something. And one of the things that my takeaway from Bradford was the asking price is going to be too high for all the top starters. So you're like, oh, well, then what are you going to do? Like, are you just so afraid to trade prospects? You're not going to go down that road. Then what are you going to you're going to end up with Charlie Morton and like a back. I don't want the deadline to play out like it did last year where they added James Paxton, Danny Jansen, and 2 relievers that were just disasters. So you could say, hey, we did bring in players, like we added to the team, but none of them helped. So like I think they're going to have to part with maybe more of the farm system than they want because there's going to be names out there. But yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. They should try to capitalize on this season. Like this season feels like something good could happen.
This feels like they could not just compete for a wild card. If they can continue to play like this, we've been trying to keep tabs in the afternoon show on what they need to do to reach 92-70, which was, I believe, Breslow's prediction for the season, which was our prediction for the season as well. And it used to just be laughably distant, like completely unattainable. Yeah. Now they only have to go 39-25 over this final, you know, 64 games of the season, which seems, the way that they've been playing, kind of attainable. That means they have to go 8-5 over every 13. Just win two out of every three series. This is very doable for this team. So if there's a team like a name that's been bandied about, Ryan Helsley, the closer for the Cardinals, like they're going nowhere fast. If he's involved in a prospect-rich fire sale, get him.
Yeah.
Because you may also not be able to hold on to Chapman next year, or he may say, whoa, man, I was really good for you guys last year. This 1-for-10 deal is not going to last. I'm going to go for 2-for-30, in which case you may need a closer of the future. So go get a plus arm if you can.
Emmanuel Clase was also the latest to be rumored to the Red Sox, the Guardians closer, who has been nails for three straight years. He was horrible in the playoffs last year, but he was lights out for three straight years. This year, they took him out of the closer role, then they put him back, and he's been really good since he's gone back. Although the rumor was Jaron Duran for him, which I wouldn't do.
Yeah, take that, shine it up real nice, and fire it right out your back door.
Yeah, no, I'm hanging on to Duran for the rest of the season. I guess next year, though, there's a legitimate question. Like, what do you do? I don't think you bring back every guy that you currently have for the 2026 Red Sox, but you can cross that bridge when you get to it.
Yeah, that Rich, that's like right now, you, like I said, you have four really good outfielders. They're all getting along fabulously. You don't have the killer bees of 2018, but with Duran and Anthony DHs as well, and then you have the outfield of Rafaela and Duran and Abreu. This is great. You have a position of strength. Don't weaken yourself when you can have, we can add a starter or an arm. Yeah, but if one of these guys goes down, do you want to see Masataka Yoshida playing left field when it counts in September and you're trying to snag a wild card or the AL East? I don't. Nobody loves watching him run around first with that perfect form and those tiny little arms more than this guy.
Pulls his pants up like Steve Urkel and just smacking balls to left field.
Belt line right under his armpits.
That hard little laced single. Nice little player.
So adorable. Yeah. I think they actually just like 3D scanned him for when they do Yoshida bobblehead night, because he's just perfect size little ball player.
That'd be a nice little keepsake right there.
Yeah, but no, I deal away. Look, everyone in the – this is such a young team right now.
Yeah.
With Rafaela and Anthony and Meyer and Duran. I know Duran's 28, but he's a pretty young guy as well. And, yeah, Bregman's the old man at third. Great. Well, you're going to probably try to re-sign him in the offseason to be the veteran leader going forward. But otherwise, like, this is a youth movement-based team. You can afford to deal away some prospects to get after it now, because I think the AL is wide open. And now look who we're playing, boys. Over the next nine games, you're basically playing the three teams that most of us think, minus the Metropolitans, could be in the World Series of American baseball.
I'm with you on they got so many young guys on the team. You look at the lineup today, I think the only guys over 30 are Bregman and Story, right? Like, those guys are playing well. I mean, Bregman's back now, so they're super young, so I have zero problem trading away the prospects.
Because the prospects we were told about for so long are here.
Yeah, we got them. Even Campbell's at the minors, like, leave him there, that's fine. You have another wave of guys that I think teams are going to be interested in.
Right, how long do I have to wait for the password? How long do I have to wait for Blaze Jordan?
And then even if those guys break through, where are they playing?
Right.
Like, they're kind of blocked by guys that are already established.
So for the past few years, it's been Anthony, it's been Maya, it's been Campbell. They're here. They have helped. Well, you know, we had to send Campbell down. But either way, at this point, the prospects that are left are trade pieces, because the ones you were waiting on are here.
That's what I think.
Right, Billy. Like, we heard so much about, like, when Marcelo Meyer fell into their lap a couple years ago and they never expected him to be available, that's what ultimately made Bogarts expendable. Because they thought this kid would be the shortstop of the future. Story switches over from second to short. Actually having a good season at the plate, keeping him healthy, incredibly important. But we always kept hearing, when is the youth movement? When is the future at Fenway going to happen? It's now. And that's why this team has turned around. They've got immaculate vibes. You know, Nantucket hasn't even recovered emotionally and sexually from Anthony Meyer and Romy going over there to party for a couple of days.
Yeah, look out.
And think about this, too. Getting rid of he who shall not be named, because I try not to mention you-know-who, who now hits the baseball not so often for San Francisco.
Devers?
Didn't we step in it with Will Clark and Will Fleming in the afternoon show, huh?
That was excellent.
The record of the
team. F*** off, mother All right. Rafael Devers?
Will Clark sounds like he's all put together.
Yeah. I think he's doing just fine.
Yeah. Pop quiz. Do you believe, or just random question, that if you were to visit Will Clark's house, there would or would not be several Miller High Life empty tall boy cans on the front lawn?
Just living the dream on the lawn.
You want to take a and conversation around that we're having and then blow it out of proportion because you're a East Coast piece of reporter?
I don't get the East Coast thing.
I don't know.
I don't get the East Coast thing. And
he was rolling.
I know. I get that.
He was on a roll.
And the way he talks about
filthy
it,
like, flow,
as if we were eavesdropping on a conversation. Right. Like
he called it a podcast / Zoom.
You put it out there.
He was on Burns to Burns.
He's like, yes, people saw it.
Yeah, the whole thing. You're out there.
You're talking about our conversation. Well, don't have it. Don't record it. Don't post it.
Oh, that's
amazing. First, don't say it to Will Fleming in front of his brother. And, you know, you have to know at this point, you've done enough interviews to say, like, off the record, boys. And then second, it's so
he also said it on his
podcast. You hop on your podcast with Eric Burns and say it?
Ridiculous.
F you, mother effer. My God.
Unstable.
All right, you can,
anyway, the stat was, since they called up Roman Anthony, they're 21-10.
21-10. Kind of coincides when I got the City Connect jersey, too. Not to rub salt in the wound on that, Fitzy. I know you're also fighting that fight, but... The City Connect jersey.
How does that feel, by the way? Do you feel like a different fan with that on?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel great.
It's like putting on your super kit. And I saw you got a Revs jersey.
It looks like a tent
well.
On him.
I got a Revs jersey, too. I'm living the dream now. I'm just swimming in jerseys, as I should be. It's what makes me happy.
His Connect jersey is like two sizes too big for him.
That Connect, yeah, it is. Beggars can't be choosers, although I was a beggar. But now I need to choose the size. I need a smaller size.
Well, the superhero that is Mr. Thrifty is not going to be complaining about. Rich will gain enough weight to fit into the City Connect jersey.
Hemmed or eat some cheeseburgers.
That's true. I am getting there. Although their record since I got that jersey, where is it? I think I had this down. I think they're like 24-11. Something insane like that.
From the Anthony record.
That's from the You Tell Me coincidence department.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, we go to the phone, 617-779-7937. JP is in North Providence. He joins us next. What do you got, JP?
Hey, Rich, real quick, I like the new segment, Keith is Crew. Do you have, like, Arcan's got Jones locked up in the dungeon there? Is this a takeover on midday?
No, Jones is actually celebrating his 10-year anniversary, if you know what I'm saying. So he'll be back on Monday. He needs some time off.
Yeah, check the pastry at home. So I got two ballparks, one kind of out of the box and one because I'm old school. I'd love to go to see Notre Dame play there just because of the history, the song, and all of that. And one that would be fun and out of the box would be the old Candlestick / Oracle Park, specifically to see McCovey Cove. But I'd want to bring some Wellfleet Sharks with me and drop them out there with the kayakers. That could make it fun to watch balls splashing out there if Devers ever hits one.
All right, very good. I don't know if Devers will hit that. So we asked the question earlier, Fitzy,
about... That was an amazing call.
Yeah, it was. The best ballpark that you haven't been to, or the ballpark you most want to go to. And I was thinking baseball. You've, I know, been around the league. You were doing stuff with MLB Network before, so you've been to a lot of parks. What's the best one you have gone to?
Outside of Fenway, it's all National League parks. I would say number one, PNC in Pittsburgh. Yep. Number two, Wrigley Field. Number three, Oracle / used to be called AT&T.
Okay.
The view there is spectacular. Walking in from downtown San Francisco, passing by all those great restaurants and breweries. So your pregame is cultural, historical, and delicious. Wrigleyville is Wrigleyville. It's the best outdoor party-based take there is, I think, in MLB. Closest thing there is to a good baseball tailgate. But the most beautiful is PNC is incredible.
Yeah.
Just.
That's the one I want to go to.
Every aspect. Plus, they have, Rich, you know you'd love it. They have the $35 party deck where your seat gets you all you can eat for seven innings.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's
I had a buddy of mine do that. Here are all the options. You can get two things at a time.
Incredible.
I think it might have changed. It was like, I forget how many years ago we did it, but he said it was just mind-blowing.
That's amazing. What's the worst park? And if it's the Tampa Bay park, give me another one.
Dude, you know it's the former Tampa park with the slanted roof and the torn roof. Yeah.
Just a dump.
Well, that roof's gone now.
Yeah, which has been ripped to shreds.
There's a couple of, like, couple of cookie cutters out there. I gotta say, it's time. I think maybe Cleveland got rid of their football stadium pretty quick.
Yeah.
And now they're building that whole new one out in the suburbs with the fancy roof and everything. I think they used to call it the Jake or Progressive, and I don't know what it is now. It's like Gillette. It's past its prime. I don't know how much longer they're gonna hold on to it. It's pretty mm-hmm. generic. Great downtown to go to hang out in.
Yeah, it's fun.
Kind of a lousy ballpark.
I like it. I haven't been to too many, but I get what you're saying. I think at one point it was like, oh, this is the new wave, and now there's been so many new ones since. Where you're
that
like,
was
okay.
33 years
that
ago.
That was a long time
when Jim
ago.
Tomey was smacking dingers over the wall and right.
No, that's true. All right, you can join the program at 617-779-7937. Fitzy hanging out until 1 o'clock. The Patriots begin training camp on Wednesday, so we're just a few short days away. We'll talk about the big storylines heading into camp coming up next. But right now, here is Billy Lanny with What's Trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. The Red Sox in their 10-game winning streak return from the All-Star break this afternoon to begin a 3-game series against the Cubs in Chicago. First pitch from Wrigley is at 2:20. You can hear the call of the game with Will Fleming and Mike Monaco right here on 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Lucas Giolito will get the start for the Sox against the Cubs' Colin Ray. Don't forget to tune into the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Joe Weil at 1:20. Sox lineup today, Jaron Duran is in left. Alex Bregman is your third baseman. Roman Anthony, DH, and Carlos Narvaez behind the plate. Willy Abreu is in right. Trevor Story's at short. Marcelo Meyer at second. Seidon Rafaela in center. And Abraham Toro will be at first base. Boston Celtics improved to 3-1 in summer league action after last night's 87-78 win over the Los Angeles Lakers. Jordan Walsh led Celtics scorers, with 17 points. The C's summer league schedule will continue on Sunday against the Atlanta Hawks. And tomorrow night, the New England Revolution hosts Orlando City SC. Kickoff from Gillette Stadium is at 7:30. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI, WEEI.com.
Now. Jones and Keefe on WEEI. And streaming on WEEI.com.
Jones and Keefe, WEEI. On this Friday, as the Red Sox return from the All-Star break, Sox and Cubs, 2:20 first pitch right here on WEEI. Jones off today. Lanny has slid over. Fitzy is joining us as well. And we are just a few days away from Patriots training camp this Wednesday. First practice for the Patriots. The Jones and Keefe program will be in the house for all of training camp practice. Oh, that's right, Fitzy. We will be there. High above.
Man.
Yep, looking over the fields.
All the jerseys, practice access. Wow.
Things are going pretty great. It's a good time to be us.
A soda fridge in the room behind us.
And unlimited Mountain Dews, which I
you get Diet
into.
Pepsis, yeah. Mountain Dews, Aquafinas, the drink, not the actress.
Sure.
Like, that's awesome.
Biggest storyline for you going into camp this year is what?
Can the offensive line not be the 32nd ranked offensive line in the NFL?
Yeah.
Like to me, everything on this team, I full well expect the defense to be at least top half of the league, if not potentially top 12, top 10. I'm a big buyer on Milton Williams being able to play more than 47% of the snaps and be a plus level addition to both Barmore's output and the defense's pressure rate as well, because they had 19 sacks last year, 9.5 literally came in one game against the Bears.
Yep.
And I think Gonzo and Carlton Davis is going to be locked down, and everyone says Spillane is going to be all of our new favorite player on the Patriots. But the offensive line is legitimately five. I can't believe they spent all this time, all this draft capital, boys, and all this money, and yet there are still five question marks right across the offensive line. You know, does Sling Blade with Velociraptor arms, is he going to be good enough to hold up at left tackle in the NFL?
Where do you stand on him? I know you guys talk about
him. I think he's all right.
Yeah, okay.
If he can play like he sound bites, he'll be a nice addition.
He does sound great. I'll give him that. He sounds like $1 million.
I've heard he likes French fried potatoes.
And I'll die for my quarterback. Billy Lanny, you and I should go out sometime and get smash burgers.
Done and done.
Nasty. All right. But like, you know, Will Campbell, I love what he says. I love everything about him. But, like, he starts the season with a draw of Max Crosby, a face full of Jalen Phillips, and the $41 million man in T.J. Watt. Other than that, enjoy life in the NFL, Rook. Like, that's a test and a half.
Hot start.
We don't know who the left guard is. It might be Cole Strange. It might be Layden Robinson. Maybe it's rookie center slash guard Jared Wilson. Who knows? Who's the center? Is it Garrett Bradbury, who was 42nd ranked of, 47 centers last year in pass pro? He stinks at that. He's like diet Ryan Wendell. I don't know if he's going to hold up or if he's going to win the job over Strange, Ben Brown, Wilson. Mike Onwenu, I've heard, is close to 400 pounds and hasn't played near up to his contract.
That could be a good thing, though. Haas of the week? Nick, you think Haas of the week, 400-pounder?
Measurements for it.
Gotta be. Gotta be in the
Haas
running.
Haas and a half.
Okay.
He hasn't lived up to that deal.
No. Friend of the show, Mike Onwenu. Yeah, he's had his ups and downs. They've also moved him positions. If they just tell him, hey, you're the right guard all season, I feel like that's probably better than flip-flopping back and forth from tackle to guard.
There's still
400 pounds is a
it's a lot. Big, it's a lot of person.
That's a big
that's,
dude.
That's
not
that's
a lot of pulling guards. Not a lot of pulling guard there.
It's trouble on Spirit and Southwest for sure.
Yeah.
And then over at right tackle, like Morgan Moses, the guy seems to be an instant captain and spiritual leader of the team. And there's seem to be very many obvious reasons, Rich, why they signed him.
Yep.
But he's 35. You know, he isn't, you know, he's got his own, comes with his own injury concerns. You know, can he play 17 games? You know, will Caden Wallace be ready to step in if necessary at right tackle as well? So
I'll tell you, the way you lay it,
the offensive line,
the way you lay it out, it's kind of depressing.
Right.
Because I was like,
Bradford yesterday, Fitzy today,
geez,
taking the wind out of our sails.
Because everyone just keeps saying like, the offensive line, they fixed the O-line. We won't be the worst. I know, but like,
I think you're listening to too much Coldplay. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, if somebody could have just at least treated me to a star full of skies this week, then maybe I'd be more optimistic.
I feel like the because I've been looking at it where they improved at every position, but that is said with like it's barely a compliment because of how bad they were at most positions. So I'm with you. You bring up a good point because I think Will Campbell individually is such a swing player performance for the season. You either have a really good left tackle or you have a guy that might have to play guard. Like it's the possible outcomes on him specifically are all over the place.
Did you find it odd, though, that Mike Vrabel spoke? Sorry, but I just wanted to throw this one thing in there. Like, did you guys find it odd that Vrabel talked at one point about how people said Peter Skoronski, who obviously plays for his former team, the Titans, they wondered if he would be a guard tackle? And he had basically the same measurables as Zach Martin and Will Campbell.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, 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 this guy's a guard. But for some reason, even with all those measurables, they're like, I don't know, Will Campbell's a left tackle. Like, I just always found that a bit curious.
So my one thing that I am somewhat confident that they view Campbell strictly as a tackle is the report that came out right after the draft that in the second round they really wanted, who was it Jonah Williams? Who was the guard that went?
The guy that went 37 overall to Miami.
They wanted a guard. So if they actually got the guy they wanted, I don't think they would have gone guard. I think they would have gone tackle.
No.
Like, right? Like, he's playing tackle until he absolutely falls on his face.
Yeah.
Then that's how I view it. So I'm with you. The offensive line's a good one. For me, it's Steph Diggs. Like, I'll start with the big shiny object that they just got. It's Steph Diggs because that's another guy. If he's out there and productive, that's a huge positive for the offense, for Drake May, for anything McDaniels wants to do. Flip side, if he's either not available due to health or just is an older receiver and broken down, then they're in big trouble at receiver because they have nobody else to rely on other than him, and he comes in with all the question marks that he does.
We get him in week one?
I hope so, obviously.
The videos he's posted, he looks great. But again, that's against nobody and no pads on.
So maybe the next 2 weeks we'll have a better sense of it. I'm going to say yes. I'll be positive he was at, I know not all of the OTAs, but at some of the OTAs. He wasn't participating in everything, but he was at least out there. So I'll say yes. Maybe he is one of these guys that recovers quickly from the ACL and he's out there week one.
A lot of eyes on
him. Billy, I'm all in on him being available week one.
Nice.
Okay.
You know. Look, you know, Welker came back after tearing his ACL in January of 2010. Wasn't really right that whole season. Obviously, his game was completely predicated on those quick cut slants and short open routes. But you can look at a guy like Diggs, who seems to be freakish, an athletic freak, like kind of an X-Man. Maybe there's a little bit of that Adrian Peterson tears his ACL. 9 months later, he runs for 2,000 yards. Like, he looks fantastic.
He does.
Like, he looks like he's ready for the season. And to me, guys, what Steph Diggs does on the sideline and in the wide receiver meeting room and in training camp is almost as important as what he's going to do on the field. Because if he challenges all the receivers, makes them up their game, and as he said in that recent video with Kendrick Bourne, opens up his, quote, two toolboxes so as to learn all the wide receivers how to play in the NFL, then, you know, maybe you get the $23 million in value. By the way, I'm going to smash the Steph Diggs touchdown prop. It's 4.5.
I'll take the over. Yeah, I'll take the over on that.
Who do you think, minus 115, get out of here. That's free money.
Who do you think the second best wide receiver on the team is?
Right now, it'll be Pop Douglas.
Yeah.
I'd say I'd probably rank him Pop, Bourne, Kyle Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, just because we've seen all the other guys. So I'm with you. I have Kyle Williams higher than maybe he should be, only because it's sort of the unknown.
What's the midday's consensus on Booty? I probably should put Kayshawn Booty.
Oh.
I don't know.
Sorry.
We're pro
Walked
Booty.
Right into that one.
Yep. I think he's...
like Kayshawn Booty, what do we think?
Couple different outcomes, I guess. He's at risk of being cut, just sort of like the odd man out, because he wasn't drafted by Vrabel. He was productive at times last year, but also in an offense that somebody needed to catch the ball. Somebody needed to have right. the yards. So, yeah, I don't think he's a lock by any stretch to make the team.
Like a make-or-break year for him?
I mean, it might be a make-or-break camp. Like, I don't even know if he makes – like, they can only keep, what, six receivers probably? And if Diggs is healthy, you have Diggs, and then you have your rookie Kyle Williams. They just signed Mac Hollins. Pop Douglas is ahead of him.
Bourne
should be ahead of him. And then Jalen Polk, I think, stinks, but he was a second-round pick and would probably get the tiebreaker over Booty.
And Javon Baker and his maturity issues.
Yeah, he's not gonna make
it. No one has stood up in the wheelchair. You have, the popcorn went stale.
Efton Chisholm III, people are excited about.
You have to refer to him by his full name. Living legend and future Patriots Hall of Famer, Efton Chisholm III. People are just... His hype train is way too big. It's like picked up a lot of extra weight, but everyone said, like, in OTAs and minicamp, best player on the defensive side of the ball by far was Christian Gonzalez. Player that popped the most on offense, Efton Chisholm.
Yeah, and Vrabel loved him. Vrabel went on and on and on about him, so that's another guy to watch. Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. He joins us next. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys? On Efton Chisholm real quick. Vrabel was calling him all offseason trying to get him over here on that, you know, on the undrafted list. So him and McDaniels were calling him, like, personally. So you got to think he's going to have a chance. On the defense, you know, there's a lot of guys, but Keon White, for me, you know, we'll give him a pass last year. You know, he looks the part, but you think he's going to get after it. And watch the fourth round safety, the guy Woodson from California. Mm-hmm. He might make some guys expendable. Thanks.
All right, there you go. Yeah, Curran yesterday – you guys were asking him about surprise cuts, and he went with Kyle Duggar as one of them. So,
and ESPN just listed Kyle Duggar as their comeback player of the year candidate on the Patriots.
That's nice.
Well, so, listen, who knows?
And he got votes on ESPN.
He did. He was like, he wasn't a top 10 safety, but he was, I think, an honorable mention.
Last year, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see.
He had a lousy, I mean, I know he was injured, and that ankle, his wheel was bum all year, but...
No, he wasn't.
I think almost everybody on that defense last year deserves a pass. Like, it was such the spine was gutted immediately with no Barmore, no Bentley. You lose Peppers to his whole fracas a couple weeks in. Like, the spine of the defense was gone. Everyone was playing out of position. Oh, and they were being coached horribly by somebody way in over their head.
Wasn't it Keon White actually the one that was saying when they were asking about Vrabel? He's like, well, now I feel like I actually have a coach. Wasn't that him?
Yep.
Oh, so. Yeah. And back in December, he said to Karen Gregan, you know, I'm going to have to reevaluate things if things stay this way. You know, I don't know if this is the best for my career. There's things I wish I could tell you about what's going on with this defense, but I can't, like mess.
It. All right. Very good. If you want to get in on the Patriots, you can at 617-779-7937. Red Sox baseball this afternoon. Take it on the Cubs. But coming up next, it's our week in review on Jones and Keefe, WEEI.
WEEI, New England Sports Original. No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI. It's certainly been a week.
Yeah, why don't you feel him out here, Keith?
Here's some of the best.
Get the chainsaw!
There's a whale at the compound! Get the chainsaw! Get everybody pile in the minivan, chainsaw. We're going.
And worst...
You guys are as bad as the announcers.
It's Jones and Keefe's Week in Review.
The guy sucks! Get him out of here!
On WEEI.
Oh, what a week it has been. Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Jones was in the first couple of days. He has taken the last few off. He will return on Monday. Billy Lanny has slid over. Fitzy hanging out with us for the rest of the program here today. Red Sox baseball comes your way. 1:20 with the pregame. Sox and Cubs from Wrigley at 2:20 with the first pitch. So on Monday, I had my big Superman review. Saw Superman over the weekend, did a spoiler-free review. So it started out very much as a Superman review, and then, like everything else on this show, turned into something completely different. I saw three superheroes this week, Jones. Lionel Messi, Garrett Crochet, and Superman. I need one more for a Mount Rushmore Monday.
It's kind of a shot at your dad. I thought you saw your dad.
And my dad, yes, the big four.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
83% of the critics on Rotten Tees give it a thumbs up. 93% from the audience.
That's our number.
That's our number.
That's
we're the people's.
Yeah, we're with the people.
The people's reviewers.
Yes.
I would be one of those 93%. This movie was excellent. If you're a dog fan, Crypto.
Superdog?
Superdog, yeah.
Bounty Hunter?
What was it?
No, not Dog the Bounty Hunter. No, he's not in it. Sadly. There are some cameos, but not by Dog the Bounty Hunter.
And no Bev.
Or Bev.
Okay.
Are they either one of
us? I don't
with
believe
us?
Dog is with us. I'm not sure about Bev. Wouldn't be some.
This is
Bev passed away. Dog's still with us.
Oh, I got it backwards.
Flipped it on you.
Wow.
How about that?
It was Bev or Beth?
Beth.
Beth.
I thought it was Bev.
No.
apologies to Beth up there.
Good summer movie. I would say for me right now, Sinners remains the number one movie of 2025 that may be impossible to catch. But this is right up there. I'm going to go 5.5 out of 6. Not a full 6.
5.5 out of 6?
Yeah, buddy. We learned a lot in that clip.
Yeah, we did.
Beth is arresting criminals in the sky right now. Her name is never Bev.
She won't make it. She's not going to make it to Wrigleyville for the pregame?
She won't be there having a Chicago dog. No. That's not happening.
No Portillo's for Beth.
No. So I happen to like Superman. Fitzy didn't like it as much as me, but he liked it nonetheless. Mike Francesa, meanwhile, did not care for Superman.
What I'm getting into is this stunk as for someone who's a old-time TV show Superman guy trying to get entertained for a couple hours and wants to see Superman. This movie was pure torture to sit through. Torture. I mean, I'll tell you this. If my name was on the credits, I'd hide it. That's how bad it was. I didn't go there to see the Green Lantern or some lady named Hawk something or other. I don't even know who she was. Okay, these other superheroes who he calls on. Who needs other superheroes? This is a Superman movie. You want to see Superman flirt with Lois Lane, keep his disguise, and battle crime. That's what you want to see. Then there's a super dog. Who came up with a super dog? I mean, we all like dogs, okay? And I didn't like the dog getting beat on in the movie. It bothered me. But hey, who came up with a dog with a cape? When did that arrive? I watched Superman for years on television. I never saw a dog with a cape. This movie is so bad that if you asked me to go sit through it again, I would want major, major cash before I could do it. Okay? It was pure torture.
You're not a fan.
What did he go in there expecting?
I don't know. He just told you, Superman flirting with Lois and solving crime.
Like, he wanted him to be a
cop. He was harkening back to the George Reeves TV show, you know, from the 50s.
Which also is when Crypto the Superdog debuted, was in the 50s. Also, Hawk Girl made her first appearance in 1940. So these aren't exactly new characters that are
He called her Hawk something or else. I'm surprised he didn't call her Hawk Tua.
Now, like we said, that's a different show. That's a different show altogether. I had a chance to meet a rock star this week, Fitzy.
Whoa.
Yep, that's right. On Tuesday, a rock star was in the building. Greg was kind enough to introduce me to Brent Smith, the lead singer of Shinedown. Pretty sweet. They're going to be at the Garden on Saturday, so he was in the building.
So I was
knows I'm a rock fan.
I was just looking this up. He's like, you're a rocker, not this guy over here.
No, look
but
at
you're,
Jones.
But you're,
look at this
you're,
square. Look at this square
that's,
over here.
I think that's what they did. It. I think that's what they did. They sized me up when they walked in. They're like, no, this guy
wouldn't be interested.
This guy over here is a rocker.
Yeah. Huh?
But so they'll be at the Garden on July 19th, as you said, on Saturday. You met him, and not only that.
Not only that, I gave him a little fun fact about myself.
You dropped
I like
little,
to do that.
You dropped a little knowledge.
Every time I meet somebody, I tell them a little bit about myself. They're always interested in that.
Sick brag, bro.
Yeah, well, you have that ready, Nick, because I told him, I said, my first dance at my wedding with my mother was a Shinedown song. Now, it's a Lynyrd Skynyrd song, but their cover of Simple Man, incredible cover. And so that we played that all the way back on December 31st, 2011.
How about that?
Yeah, pretty good.
Some photos they took.
Yeah.
Did you
not
get
the tallest? Oh, yeah. I did take a photo with him, but it wasn't with my phone, so I may never see it again.
That's what I was wondering.
That was just like, yeah, here you go.
Are you going to get a copy of that? I think it was Jackson. So
oh,
I'm
no,
sure,
Jackson?
I'm sure you'll get that.
No chance. Update on that. I did get the photos 3 days later. I was able to circle back with Jackson. Jackson got me the.
That was very Yoda of Jones. Some photos they took?
That's not how you talk.
Rich, one and many a time, whether we were doing middays with Dale or the Rich Keefe show at night, we would have the Fitzy random celebrity interaction segments, which probably now are going to earn me a sick brag, bro. Back when I used to work for K-Rock in 2005.
Sick brag, bro.
That's one
right
of many.
Right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate.
Asked for it. Yeah.
We were, obviously, it was a rock station, and we had, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
In studio on the old afternoon show, the Booker Show, from 2 to 6, we had Brent Smith, lead singer of Shinedown, come in and do live Simple Man.
Oh, hell yeah. How good was it in person?
It blew me away. It was, because we used to play Save Me by Shinedown all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It was in heavy rotation on the station, and then he came in and did that. Blew us all away. Amazing. I cannot believe that was a song you danced with to your mom. That's incredible.
Yeah, it was. It was great. Great tune all around.
What a band and what a voice on that guy.
And I haven't tweeted it out yet, or I'll put it on Instagram, Rich Keefe, W-E-E-I. He's not the biggest dude in the world, but he does maybe have the biggest voice and heart, I would say.
Got a voice and a half. Voice of an angel that wants to party.
Here is our, arguably our call of the week. Bob and Warwick.
Oh, this guy.
He was a little down.
Oh, this freaking guy.
You know this guy? I was unfamiliar with this guy.
Oh, my God. He calls in after every day.
He was not happy with a lot of things.
The Red Sox printing World Series tickets. They might as well. They've wasted enough money on other things.
What's the matter with you, Bob? What happened? What's wrong?
Why so hurt?
What happened? Yeah. I hate the Red Sox. Is there anything wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that, Bob. Just curious kind of as to why they are riding a 10-game heater right now, and they're currently a playoff team.
Right. Why are you so down?
They lost eight before that, or seven in a row. So they're up three. We need to prepare the losses. Yeah, Castiglione's a homer, too.
So
they got rid of him.
He's a Hall of Famer.
The guy is drunk.
Is there anything they can do, Bob, to get you back in?
He's a Hall of Famer because he's an ass kisser.
No, that's not true. Okay. Guy calls a good game, Bob.
It's got no voice for broadcasting.
I'm not a psychiatrist. I feel like you're really upset with something else, and you're kind of lashing out at the Red Sox.
If you learn how to talk without a lisp, it might have helped.
I can't. I was born this way. If you want to make fun of me,
doing the best you can, but you're never going to make the big time.
Nope. I know.
Bob,
if I go to a better sports city, I would love to.
Is there any way? Okay, I'm done.
He doesn't want to.
I don't even want to ask a question because he doesn't let me get it in.
No, go ahead.
Bob, is there anything? Bob?
All you do is give the scores.
Bob, you're dealing with amateurs?
Jones went on vacation.
Bob?
85-77 was the score of the Fever game.
Just one question, Bob, and you can answer it however you'd like. Is there anything the Red Sox can do to get you back on board?
They need you.
Nothing.
Okay, thanks for the call.
I look forward to his... Whenever I see his call show up on the screener, I tell Hart, you have to take it.
Yeah.
He is such an absolute flash flood over your well-planned parade.
Just a stick in the mud.
I love it. He just hates him. No matter what they do. Billy, there is literally nothing you can do.
No.
There's not a flavor of ice cream you can buy for him. There is not a movie you could treat him to.
Not enough Coldplay in the world.
Not enough Colton. Seriously, no.
I thought it was a simple question. Because I didn't know if he was a fan who was just angry or if he just hates the Red Sox altogether. I thought it was a simple question.
Yeah. He will not viva that vita anytime soon, boys.
No, he won't.
Joyfully miserable.
We also had a chance to get some Uber stories from Rob Bradford when he was down in Atlanta for the All-Star break.
And I have a very, very complicated relationship. Well, this is my takeaway from the All-Star game.
Yeah, let's hear it.
With Uber drivers or Lyft drivers. Boy.
What's your Uber rating?
Oh, I have a good I go down to my... I'm paranoid about that.
Yeah, mine's
Aren't
not
you guys
best.
Paranoid about this?
I was paranoid. Mine, I took a tank one time because I took an Uber home from a beer fest once. And
cleanup charges.
Yeah, no, I didn't throw up, but I think the guy thought that I would.
Yeah.
And so he was like looking at me in the back. I'm like, can I put the window down? The guy's like, oh,
please do.
So I think that tanked it. But other than that,
I don't put it on don't talk to me mode because I feel like right out of the gate, that's like leading to...
Who is this guy?
I'm going to give him a bad rating. So I'm like, oh, no, I don't really want to talk to anybody. But then some of the stories are really like, what? Like I had one guy... who was trying out for the USFL as a receiver.
Nice.
But he just smoked too much of that weed, you know,
gets all of us.
He's like back in the day.
Could have been.
He could have been the next great Birmingham Stallions wideout. Normally, you guys are like, oh, it would have been me, but I had, like, the knee injury. This guy's like, it would have been me, but, you know, weed.
I just love pot too much.
He was like, no guys in the NFL are currently smoking weed. So. No, he was honest. And then anytime you have a guy who has self-published his own science fiction novel, you know, you're
copy in the back seat?
I don't think it's like a hard copy. Yeah,
it's all up here.
But you know that's a wild ride.
Did you tell him you were a writer?
Unfortunately,
okay,
I did.
So that's what it was.
It's just Billy, it's just two writers just chopping it up.
I get it, right?
So there you go.
Bradfoe has got to be like the best guest to have in the backseat of an Uber or Lyft.
Oh, yeah.
He's the rideshare dream. He'll just keep you entertained the whole way.
All right, so in addition to Fitzy's late entry, we have two finalists for Brag of the Week. So you guys need to determine which was the better brag. Was it Mike in Randolph?
You know, I was talking about this with one of my buddies.
Sick brag, bro.
Possible. All right, that's one contender. Or was it Josh in Nashua?
The AC is going.
Sick brag, bro.
And I'm on the iPhone, and I can't really, I don't know how to really navigate this thing. It's freaking new, so.
Sick brag, bro.
An air conditioner and a new iPhone.
So, sitting in the AC and a brand new iPhone, or talking to
friends.
A buddy. Talking to friends.
I don't know. I think my vote goes to talking to some buddies.
Yep.
Yeah, I was talking about this with one of my buddies.
Sick brag.
That's true.
Anybody
can buy an iPhone.
Sure.
Anybody can buy an AC.
This guy's got a friend.
To have a buddy.
Every house comes
something.
With them these days, Billy. But like to have a buddy you can talk
good
to
point.
About sports.
Great point.
Very good point.
All right, there you go. There is our week in review. You can
wait, Rich. What is your rate? What is your Uber rating?
4.60.
That's not bad.
It's not great. Billy's is 4.92.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
But I think that also has to do, like, it takes a lot for me to not give you 5 stars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even if it's, like, something happens when I'm as close to an accident or death, you're getting 4. You know what I mean?
Like, no, but do they rate you every time, you think? Or sometimes they don't? Oh, they do?
I assume it's the same way. Like, when you get out of the car, your phone vibrates. Yeah. It's like, give us a rating, give us a tip. And I think they get the same thing.
I had an Uber driver reach out, and he was like, yeah, Keith, that's a bad score. He's like, I'm leery of anybody that has that score. And I was
really?
Like, oh, man. Yeah.
He did?
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know. I'm like, I'm usually polite. I'm on
once.
Time. I'm in the right spot. I don't know what the problem is. I think I must have gotten like all once. I don't use it a ton. So like one or two bad scores, I think, would really
use it a pretty fair amount.
Okay.
And the sick brag, bro.
Yeah.
There was one time I was coming home from a restaurant in New York City. And it was several bottles of wine later. And I think I told the driver, this is one star.
Yeah.
Pie-eyed and sweaty. And he was like, oh, this guy sucks. Yeah. Get out of here.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
All right. We have Red Sox baseball coming your way with the pregame at 1:20. So we're going to bump up the grab bag. We will do that coming up next. Fitzy's hanging out. It's Jones and Keefe, WEEI.